Welcome to A State of Mind, a podcast series all about motivating, inspiring, and educating you in the art of selling luxury real estate. This is Diane Hartley, and I'm president of the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing. In this episode of our Blueprint series, we're moving into the topic of marketing luxury listings and the importance of preparation and creating a unique marketing plan for each property. Joining us today is the Institute's lead instructor, Tammy Sims. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by Real Marketing, the only marketing firm recommended exclusively by the Institute. Real Marketing utilizes over 25 years of expertise, and their products are built and customized for you to dominate any neighborhood, anywhere. Go to realmarketing4u.com. That's realmarketing, the number 4u.com. And look for past A State of Mind episodes with the CEO of Real Marketing, David Collins, as our guest. Today, we're going to talk about step 6 in the Institute's marketing blueprint, market your luxury listing. And our guest, Tammy Sims, has lots of experience with this topic. Tammy's the lead instructor for the Institute for Luxury Home Marketing and co-host of the A State of Mind podcast. She is also the community host for the Institute Network, our private social network, where she provides valuable content through tools, training, webinars, and presentation materials to help members maintain relevance in this ever-changing luxury real estate market. In addition to being a 20-year seasoned professional in St. Petersburg, Florida, Tammy's also a well-respected panel moderator and speaker at real estate conferences nationwide. So welcome, my friend. How are you today?
Thank you. I am delighted to be here. It is a beautiful day and can't wait to talk about marketing luxury listings with you.
Excellent. So, you know, we instituted this blueprint quite some time ago where we really, you know, sort of programatized this thing that we do here and that you teach. And so the blueprint is a members only kind of tool to go back and remind folks of how do we teach you to do this? And what we're talking about right now, number 6, is this is really the crux of it all. Okay. This is what you're in business for. You get this luxury listing, regardless really of where it is on the spectrum of luxury. We really want to talk about what do you do to get this thing ready, get yourself ready, and launch it to market. So, you know, here we sit, Tammy, at the end of 2022. And if we were having this conversation a year ago, it'd be different, wouldn't it?
Right? It sure would.
Really
absolutely.
Different conversation. Whole different set of skills went into launching a house into the market a year or so ago, and really actually into 2022. So where do you see us today?
I see us in a spot where we're going to go back to the ground rules, right? The principles of good marketing. It's not about just sticking a sign in the yard and putting something in the MLS and just waiting for it to generate multiple offers. I think that we're going to be relying on our skills as professional marketing consultants for our real estate clients, and really having to be creative and thoughtful about how to find the prospective buyer and get the transaction done to the best results for the seller.
Yeah, make no mistakes. Like, I study the luxury market report that we put out, and this is a great tool for folks. If you go to luxuryhomemarketing.com, we do open this to the public, right? Our North American luxury market report, and we track 140 plus markets, and we're still in a great market, right?
Absolutely.
I told the story a couple of weeks ago of our top luxury threshold is Vail. That's a $15 million luxury threshold, and it's still only 77 days on market. Like, typically, Tammy, it's what, 6 months?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 6 months, a year, sometimes even longer in those price points.
Yeah. So we are sitting here in a really fabulous market. But what we want to focus on today is getting the listing launched, because it's still a great house that isn't ready, isn't going to sell.
Absolutely.
In 77 days. So, all right, let's talk about what I call the Tammy framework. So what do you think about here? And so you've now walked us through this. You've now earned a listing. that sits in the, you know, the entry to midpoint of luxury in your market.
Perfect. That's a great example because it gives the most opportunity.
Yes.
So how I approach marketing a luxury listing, which is following the principles that we teach, right? This is one of those places where practice what you preach. it's really about preparation, right? Absolutely about preparation, then building the story, and then telling the story, right? Those are the three main principles. But the preparation, just like anything else, is so crucial because there is no marketing strategy that will overcome either incorrect pricing or poor presentation to the market.
All right. So let's talk first about incorrect pricing, okay? Because this is still a challenge right now. The properties that take the price, you know, movement, those are the ones that it's not where we want to be, right?
Absolutely. So the pricing, especially now where we sit at the end of 2022, you are no longer in a position where you can just throw a price on it and see how much higher it's going to go. You actually have to position it price-wise where it's going to be reasonable for a buyer to express interest. And in the luxury arena, even in the entry level to midpoint of luxury, it really comes down to the lifestyle and the amenities that the property has, much more so than the brick and mortar, right? Square footage. The changes in buyers' demands that have happened in the last couple of years really command a premium for properties that offer fantastic outdoor living, right? Or great recreational opportunities, access to nature, and you know, clean fresh air is really the thing on everybody's mind, regardless of the market. So paying attention to those things and pricing appropriately for that level of amenity or the lack thereof,
right?
That's a big thing, right? That's a big thing.
So I think it's fair to say, Tammy, that your expertise is really in the process of the consultation, right? The marketing guy, you're sitting down, you know, lots of folks sit down at this point and go, I want to win this. I want to win this. I want to win this. Be careful what you wish for, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope that everybody will enjoy the previous podcast that were all about nailing the marketing consultation, because that's a whole topic in and of itself, but yes, leads right into the next steps. Once you've secured the listing, now you've got to get to work.
So how much does staging play a role in pricing it appropriately as well?
Oh, I think it plays a major role regardless of whether we're talking about an empty house that needs staged furniture or a home with someone's possessions that needs some assistance from a stager or designer to make sure that it is presenting in a clean, inviting way that appeals to as many prospective buyers as possible, right? Especially in the upper tier, you've got folks who have incredible art collections or really exquisite sculpture and things of that sort that can be incredibly distracting for someone looking at a property. And so your ability to work with your team of professionals, right? Your stagers, particularly those that have experience in the luxury marketplace and have teams of folks that can help with everything from furniture placement to painting and handyman repairs, that sort of thing. Get all those things tidied up. You've only got one chance to make a first impression.
Right, right. And so that, you know, that yielded great rewards in the pandemic. And I think at this point, it's still, you still have to do it. Now, suddenly we're in a place where people even more so don't want to do those things because a lot of it is you can't find the people, right, Tam?
Oh, in many cases. And that's why it's really important to have those relationships ahead of time, as opposed to trying to find services and vendors that you need all of a sudden. So relationships come into play in a really big way in that. And your ability to provide those resources to a seller who wouldn't be able to find them on their own as well.
Yeah, that's great. So okay, now here we sit, you've earned the listing, you've looked at the staging, you've now got the home while lived in to a place where you feel like, okay, it's worth this price. What's next?
So next is really nuts and bolts, right? So you've got to get your photography scheduled, and you're going to think about whether or not you need different photographers for different aspects, right? You've got your mainstay photographs, but maybe there's a feature that's going to be best photographed at a different time of day, right? So getting that set up, perhaps it's drone or other type of aerial photography or videography that you're going to want to incorporate, particularly showcasing how close a property is to other desirable assets. In my market, it's about the water and vibrant downtown. So really showcasing the more than just the property, but everything that's around it and all of the things that that make it attractive. If you're going to have floor plans done, or if you're going to use Matterport technology, all that has to be scheduled and tightened up in a time frame, right? Everybody asks me, Tammy, how long between when you take a listing and when you launch it, right? And my favorite response is, it depends, of course, but you need to set a time frame and set the expectations with a seller that you need just enough time to get everything done right, but not so much time that they get antsy that they're not on the market yet. And I'll be quite frank, I have lost listings because I refuse to take photographs with my iPhone and put it in the MLS the next day, right? It's just not how I operate. It's a reflection on me. And so I insist on enough time to get all those things done. And then during that time, it's a great opportunity for you to be working with the seller to get every bit of information that you can, right, about the house, inside, outside. What are the floors made of? What's the material for the countertops? What kind of heating and cooling? All of those types of things that are true in any category. But then also, I think it's really important to gather from the seller a list of the vendors who service that property periodically. Not all the time, right? We're always looking for who does the lawn and who takes care of the pool. But what about who, you know, in some cases, I hear that there's places where there's snow and, you know, they would need their driveways cleared. Right? I don't experience that firsthand, right? Yeah. Right. But, you know, who does that? Think about if it's a really extravagant property, maybe they have somebody that they hire to put up holiday decorations, or who trims the trees every once in a while. How valuable is that to provide to a prospective buyer? A list of all the folks that already know the property, right? Not
all
just
right,
the basics.
All right, so you opened that can of worms. So now I'm going to ask you a follow-up question too.
Okay.
So when do you start pulling that information out?
I start
is that at closing thing? Or because it feels like it's way more valuable than that at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, all of those materials are gathered into a format that's presented to a buyer when they're looking at the house, right? Wow. Or even provided customized to the buyer's agent. Like when they schedule the appointment, you send that ahead of time, customized for the clients of Diane Hartley, for example. That, you know, it wins points with the buyer's agent. It answers all the questions that a buyer could have, right? It makes the seller happy because they know that every question that could possibly come up is being answered. And it's just an extra level of information that can make the difference between a buyer saying, yeah, okay, I like that, right? Even
well,
in terms
know,
of carrying costs.
That's a great Tammy nugget right there, that obviously you're very generous in sharing everything like, you know, you do, but that's a big one, because when you think about whether or not every listing professional wants to meet every potential buyer at the house, that's a preference, right? Like not every person wants to do that, or does the buyer's agent like it, right?
Correct.
So what you've done is you're kind of there.
Yes.
That's awesome. I love
it. Yeah.
Right? Because there's marketing a property and then they're selling it. And if you can't be in the room, what better way to fully educate that buyer's agent. That's terrific. And in the complexities of these homes, like, gosh, those are gas lamps, right? And there is a gas line there. Or that is really a pool filler, right? Little things that are meant to take away the work, right?
Yes.
Or to add value.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So I want to kind of review that real quick because there are a lot of nuggets in there. So you're preparing, you're looking at whether or not it needs staging. What percentage of homes should be staged, Tammy?
I think 100% of homes need some sort of staging, even if it's just decluttering.
Yes. And just removing the personal things, right?
Some personal things. So I have a different opinion on that.
Yeah, sure.
I think that it's important not to over-sterilize spaces. Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely. Right. You want to not be distracting. But when you take every bit of humanity out of a property, it doesn't feel like someone will want to come right in. So
interesting.
I'm all about having a little bit of personality and humanity.
I like that. And so then, you kind of go through and you schedule, and all the while you're managing the homeowner. Right. In
yes.
saying this is when it's. And so your ability really to keep this moving along is important. And then finally, this idea around gathering the information. And I love the Tammy nugget here, which is make sure you present it. Don't shoot it in a text. Present it. Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Excellent. I love that. All right. So you're ready. And the other thing that you're doing along the way here is you said you're building the story. Can you tell us about that a little?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we know that in the upper tier, lifestyle is more important than brick and mortar, right? So really spending time identifying what lifestyle or multiple lifestyles a property represents is really crucial, because that's going to be the underpinning of the story, right? What's it like to live in this house? What's it like to own this house, to experience it? And so your story, right? It is not about the gourmet kitchen boasts granite counters, right? If I could cease the use of that type of language, right? Instead, it's about imagine cooking your legacy family recipe at the Viking six burner professional series range, right? So it's pointing out the features, right? But it's also telling the story. What's it like to own this home?
One of the best ones I saw was, imagine 1920s Hollywood, right? And you're not in Hollywood and it's not the 1920s, but the moment you read that, it's like, I could be, right?
Yep.
So that's terrific. And I know that when you teach this, it's one of those things where you could see folks just kind of cringing a little because they don't think they have the ability to write that.
Yep.
But it just takes practice.
It takes practice. And if at the end of the day, it's just not the skill set that someone has, then hire somebody.
Yes.
Right. There are tons of freelance journalists out there, right? Think about what's happened in that profession. There are journalism students who are hungry and need portfolio work. There's all sorts of folks who have that creative bent that if you share with them the story that you're trying to tell, then they can write it. But I strongly advise that folks be wary about hiring writers that have too much real estate experience, because they're boasting granite counters.
They're boasting granite. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you something. When you think about the lifestyle story, who's writing that in your mind? Are you interviewing the homeowner and saying, tell us how you live in the property?
I think you're picking up pieces from them, but also you're looking with open eyes, right? I used to think about it, when I was early in my career. I remember one particular house that was empty, and I sat cross-legged in the middle of the floor in the living room, right? In the middle of the house. And I just looked around and I said, who is it that's going to live here next, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it and why? And really let your imagination go. And certainly the amenities and the lifestyle features are going to build you a story in and of itself. But I think that in my mind, at least, I just I let the floodgates open and just get creative.
Well, and to your point, you know, the people who have the beautiful outdoor living, they might not use it. So that might not come into the story at all. So, okay. So you've got the lifestyle features. You've got, what about this thing we teach, which I love, which is the principle of sacrifice.
I knew you were going to go there.
I love that. It's my favorite.
I love it as well. So, so the principle of sacrifice comes into play when there are challenges that can't be overcome, right? We talked about staging as a mechanism for making a property appeal to as many people as possible. But the principle of sacrifice is getting rid of the people who are not going to be okay with a particular thing that can't be changed, right? So a small backyard, right? Power lines, right? Any of those things. We are so inclined to try to sweep those things under the rug, right? And just avoid it, right? And cringe and just wait for the feedback. But if we address it head on, if we find the thing that is a benefit, if somebody's willing to take on a property that has a unique challenge. For example, what comes to mind right now is a property that has a really steep driveway. Mm. Right? A lot of times we're like, oh man, that driveway's so steep. How in the world am I going to sell this? And the benefit that often comes from a property that has a steep driveway is a fantastic view and fewer solicitors. And so that's what I mean by find the thing that is a benefit of whatever is the perceived negative, right? And address it in the story. Because if somebody is not going to be okay with a steep driveway, don't let them come see it, right? Sacrifice them.
Great. And so the other thing that comes to mind in this world that we continue to talk about of low inventory, not no inventory, low inventory. This skill of the principle of sacrifice is really important, right? Because in a low inventory environment, sometimes you're dealing with, you know, homes that are on a busy road.
Yep.
Okay. I will tell you, like, that's the thing that I see the most right now. Is the homes that are going on the market are on, you know, not like a thoroughfare, but certainly on busier roads, but they're selling equally as quickly because the inventory situation, right?
I am seeing exactly the same thing. Properties that would have been just absolute albatrosses, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of them, right? So in a low inventory situation, people are more willing to overlook something that would have been a real problem in a market that has a lot of inventory. Right. But as that changes, we're going to have to work a little harder at it, right? So even though we are still in low inventory, we're seeing more of it, and we're seeing buyers that are not behaving at a frenzied pace. And so they're considering their options. And if they're thinking, well, maybe I'll just wait for the next one to come on, you've got to give a compelling reason in your story that they should choose this one and they should do it now.
That's good. That's good stuff. So all that's happening as that's in your head and you're putting that into play. Now the next thing is really, how do you demonstrate and display, right? So in the kind of idea of marketing, so what do you do for the, do you do brochures? What do you do?
Yeah. So the most basic benchmark standard is a super high quality, full color brochure, right? Typically a 4-page, you know, exactly the kind that Diane is holding in her hand. I can't tell you how many times I have taken a buyer to a luxury listing and all that the listing agent has provided is an MLS sheet. Or a simple flyer that was from a template that, you know, is on regular copy paper. So that impression that you make is really important. Again, as we were talking about, you've got to convince someone that they should buy this one and they should buy it now, right? And so everything that you do to market the property needs to have that level of quality, of desirability. Your brochures have to look good and feel good, right? A level of quality that just elevates the property itself in a prospective buyer's mind.
You live in a water market, right? I don't, but the water here in Texas is really more lake mm-hmm. water. So I have this thought, and I want to hear what you think about it. So in a second home market, and let's say, the Institute says, luxury benchmark is basically $500,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. But in a lake community or a water community where it's clearly going to be a second house, I see a lot of missed opportunities from not considering who the buyer is going to be. And it's only about, well, this house is only X amount of money, therefore the one-page MLS sheet. But the person who's buying that probably yep. lives well above the luxury threshold wherever they are and would have the expectation, right? Tell me about that.
And yeah, that's a great point. And to me, it kind of goes back to the idea that any property that I market is a reflection of my professionalism, right? And so it's less about the dollar amount and more about the expectation and the quality level of both the property and of the prospective buyers, right? So you are absolutely right that people purchasing in secondary markets often live in far more expensive homes in their primary or in their co-primary, as we're seeing these days. Right. And so it's a level of sophistication that speaks to that consumer, right? That client.
Yes.
That is far more than just marketing a house.
Well, and the other thing that we're certainly seeing as we research this at the Institute is the millennials and Gen Zs. For that generation, luxury has been far more accessible than, say, for Gen X and baby boomers. And so therefore, if that's the target, as you're building your story, right, and telling the story, that also bodes to, they think that their property, right, if they're the buyer, they want to see that, even if yep. the home may not convey the color brochure or whatever. That's just one of those things that sticks in my craw, because I think that the world is changing beneath our feet on this one. And the postcard isn't going to do anymore, or the printed MLS sheet. It just isn't going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the postcards come into play.
Yeah.
Because yes. to effectively... okay, let me also back up here. Every dollar that you spend marketing a property should be leveraged to earn more business, right? That was one of the frustrations when things were selling so quickly. We never got the opportunity to develop the marketing materials for our portfolio. But the way that you market a listing makes an impression with other homeowners in the area, right? So doing some sort of announcement to the market is beneficial, not only for marketing the property, but also positioning you as a desired luxury real estate professional in that area, right? So all of the materials that you prepare go into a much bigger plan, if you will. So definitely the just solds, definitely some sort of engagement with other luxury brokers, right? There's lots of vehicles. And then you've got all sorts of choices on how to reach the right audiences. And sometimes the audience is not just the prospective buyers,
right,
but other prospective clients.
Right. That's huge. And that's another Tammy nugget, because folks often forget that. Right. They look at it and think kind of a zero sum game.
Yeah. And it's like, this is right. this dollar for this purpose. Right. No, it's for much bigger. Yeah.
What's the ROI? You can't track it when it's
correct.
Well done. So, okay. So lastly, on this idea of, when you're thinking about building the story, of course, the website comes into play,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a level of expectation that each property will have its own website. Right. And I will tell you that purchasing a URL, right, the www dot that's specific to the property or the neighborhood, highly increases someone's interest in going to check it out versus going through your website to click on featured listings to find the property. Now, the clever thing is that technology has created a space where that's actually where they're going, right? It's another page on the back end of your website. It's not some third-party standalone thing that takes your search traffic elsewhere, but it's a really sophisticated touch, right? www.allendalemidcenturymodern.com. I did that recently, and people will go there. And again, it's just another thing that just sets it apart from ordinary.
And sets you apart.
It does.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the primary reason really why we launched our Institute partnership with Luxury Presence. Right. Because this is all turnkey for Institute members to just, you know, go talk to the pros.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. So now you've done your preparation. You've built your story. Now the next thing is you telling your story.
Right. Yep. You got to tell the story. And we've talked about the basic types of marketing materials, the two-dimensional things. But now you think about, how do I reach that audience, right? The folks that you brainstormed about who are the most likely buyer prospects. So there's all sorts of things to consider. There's print advertising, there's digital, all sorts of things, and even much more creative things as the price point goes up. But you want to think about what's going to have the best potential to reach the right audience, right? So even starting as basically as the price point, you mentioned $15 million benchmark, right? You are not going to advertise that in a space that doesn't reach an audience that has that level of wealth,
right?
It's super common sense. So anytime that you're considering advertising opportunities, you want to be really mindful of the readership, the audience, the demographic, the household income. And I'll give a great example of this. We had a beautiful waterfront property that we were marketing, and it was on a deep channel that we knew from the homeowner and the neighbors was fantastic for fishing, right? Saltwater fishing. And so I went to the bait shop and I asked the guys at the bait shop, and I was dressed for work that day. And so they thought it was kind of unusual that I was walking into the bait shop. And I said, so I'm thinking of advertising. I got a great waterfront property that's on that body of water over there. And they're like, oh, that's great. Redfish, right? So they knew exactly what I was talking about. And I said, I want to know which of these magazines that you have here on the counter is more often read. And they said, well, of course it's this one here, hands down. And I said, but that's the free one. It's not the one that's, you know, $2.95. They said, yeah, but that's the one that has the best tide tables. And I was like, okay. So then I used that as a vehicle to market the property to somebody who would really enjoy the fishing, right? But I didn't continue institutionally advertising in that publication because the demographic was not right, right? It worked for that one property at that property's price, but other properties, it would have, the audience was not in a high enough household income.
All right. So Tammy, you have uncovered, right, something that I think is really important in this idea of marketing a luxury listing. And that is, I hear you in my head, right? This is the want market, not the need market.
Yep.
Okay. And so one of the things that is the big difference in my mind between what you like to call the bread and butter market, where those are people out there looking for homes and they're in the market to look for a home. This idea, when you get into the upper tier, these are people that are looking for something different, an upgrade. It's the upgrade market. This could be their third home. And so one of the, that story you told is so absolutely perfect and why you're so successful. It's because you don't rest on, oh, the buyer is already out there and he's looking on this website or that website. You're saying I could do demand creation because I have this unique and special home versus what I call demand interception.
Yep. It's a perfect way to Interpret that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so in this market, and again, we're now in a very different place. We're in the place of what is going to make someone move.
Yep. Yep.
And so when you're doing the marketing and you're thinking about that, that's exactly right. Very specific to who would buy this house. So building the story. Okay. So you're telling the story in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then let's think about to the right audience, right? So members of the Institute have access to an incredible tool called the We Prospecting through Wealth Engine. And that gives the opportunity to drill down to lists of individuals. Let's say, for example, in a feeder market that's not your own local buyer, to do direct mail campaigns to folks that have the right level of wealth and have expressed the interests, right? Mm-hmm. So using the waterfront for example, in my market, but you know, really powerful tools. Those real estate professionals that aren't members of the Institute can certainly hire those things. They can pay
Sure.
to have those things developed, but it's an avenue, particularly as the price goes up. It's an avenue that most people don't consider, right? They, as you said, they wait for the buyer to show up. They're not
it's really
going out to find the buyer.
The for those of you listening, go take a look at a podcast that I did. I don't know, it's probably a year and a half ago by now with David Friedman, who's the head of Wealth Quotient. He talks about passions, hobbies, and interests.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place where you connect lifestyle, right, with passion,
yep.
hobbies, and interests. So the story you just told is absolutely perfect for that. So let's talk about the idea of a luxury broker's open. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
To me, okay. So the luxury broker's open is not the weekday caravan where you
right.
drill as many realtors through the property as possible with a deli sandwich ring and a drawing for a free gas card, right? That
How
is
do you really feel
thing.
About that? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right, right. I'm wearing
yes,
that right on my
You
sleeve,
are right there.
Right. But so I think about it from my perspective. I'm busy. And if I don't have an active buyer that's interested in that particular type of property, what's it going to take for me to want to go and experience the property? It's got to be somewhat exclusive. It's got to be at an off time. There has to be food and drink, right? And some other sort of activity, right? Maybe it's a concert pianist performing, or you know, something. It has to be an elegant event in a desirable location, if you will. And the reason why it's so important to get luxury agents who are actually selling, right? Not just the ones that have free time and want a free snack, but the ones who are actually doing business, is because sometimes there's a feature or a criteria that on paper in the MLS would allow a property to be ruled out or not found, if you will. But when a savvy real estate professional steps foot in a house and goes, huh, now I know what this house feels like, and I can keep in mind if somebody's looking for something, I bet that they would be willing to consider this many bedrooms instead of that many bedrooms because the space is so well designed, right? So it's an extra step to put you in the forefront of other luxury real estate professionals' minds for them to seek out the match, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it's not waiting for somebody to step in. It's going out to find them.
And so, Tammy, this is really an invitation only. This is you do your homework. And if you don't know who those agents are, you need to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And invitation to come and experience the property. I like that a lot.
Yep. Yep. And when you talk about knowing who those other agents are, this is really important because I think there's a lot of misperception about who the agents who are performing in that space is, right? Just because you see them in that space doesn't necessarily mean that they're actively selling. And I think if you do the research, look in your MLS, look for sold properties from the last whatever period of time, and look for who was the buyer's agent on those sales, right? Because if you're inviting all the other listing agents, right? You're just sharing your gold nugget there, right? But you want to be really focused on those realtors in your marketplace that are bringing buyers in that price point. And sometimes that's really surprising. And those folks aren't the ones that are used to getting the invitations in many cases. So a personal call. Oh, and this would be a great time to utilize a service like SlideDial or something so that you can follow up on the invitation, whether it's printed, digital, but with a phone call. Hey, Diane, this is Tammy. Sorry I missed you. I just wanted to follow up and make sure that you got the invitation. And I really hope that you'll make the time to come to that event. We'd love to see you there.
Perfect. Perfect. SlideDial is a great tool.
Right? Exactly.
You record it, it takes 10 seconds, bam.
Right?
Oh, it's lovely.
Yep.
So, all right. So in our last couple minutes, let's talk about your final kind of advice on how to do this. So it's
okay.
Like, do you spend the money on the mini movies? When do you spend that money?
So I spend the big money on things like mini movies that, you know, could cost a few $1,000s, or on VIP events for targeted prospects, right? Not the brokers open, but other targeted folks. I spend big money when I have the opportunity to market a property that I want more of. If there's a great story to tell, right? Because there's got to be a story to tell. And that's one of the things that happens as the price goes up. You know, properties have more to share, right? And so if there's an opportunity for me to leverage the dollars on more creative ideas, then I'll do it. But it's to the end goal of getting more business, not selling that particular property. So there's so many choices of what to do, right? We have just scratched the surface here, but determining what you're going to do as the marketing plan for each property, right? Every single property is going to have its own unique marketing plan. You'll have some foundation elements, but then you're going to determine what other types of marketing you're going to incorporate, but then you have to put it on a calendar, right? And there's great reasons to do this. Number one, keep you on track, right? Because you've got all sorts of deliverables in order to meet all of these expectations of the things in your plan. But it also gives you the opportunity to manage expectations with your sellers, right? Think back to when we started this conversation and we said, this is a different conversation than we would have a year ago.
Yeah.
Now, moving forward, particularly in the luxury space, we are going to have relationships with our sellers for
right.
a month, six
month
months,
two,
right?
Yeah.
And there is nothing worse than having spent your entire marketing budget and used all of your creative ideas up front. And then 30 days in, the seller says, so what's next? What have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
So having that calendar to plan things out strategically not only keeps you on track, but allows you to keep the expectations under control with your sellers and to manage the long haul instead of the, you know, 24-hour listing.
And, you know, that's great. That's so much great information there. And then this idea of if it has a wine cellar, go to the local wine store, right?
You bet.
And make sure that their customer list is on your list, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of space for events that can capitalize on the right vendor or resource, right? You just gave a great example of, you know, if there's a wine feature, right, make sure that you are connecting with the local wine shop. But why not have an event that you invite an A-list group from the wine store?
Yeah.
And A-list from your own repertoire, mm-hmm. Neighbors perhaps, and mm-hmm. leverage and have a wine tasting event or something like that. And I'm seeing a lot with bourbon lately.
Yes.
Right? So a and bourbon tasting event. And
the thing that I love is how savvy and scrappy those local retailers are about using technology and point of sale systems to capture their best clients. And
yep.
They're not afraid to say, what's your email address, right?
Yep.
So there's lots of that. And then finally, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't do this. You know, you talked about how there's so much more to marketing the listing than just selling the home. Yeah. And I think that deserves the final say here. So what I heard you say is very intentionally, you're looking at the home and what that, for lack of a better term, the sale of that home is going to generate for you. And how do you look at it intentionally and say, sure, this is the marketing budget to sell the home, but there's also an opportunity here. If in fact it's in a place where you want more of, right? You're going to smartly say, maybe this one deserves a little bit more. So I'm liked, trusted, and remembered.
Yep.
That's terrific. Well, Tammy, as always, it's so much fun. I'd like to do this every week with you.
Oh,
people would love that. I think they'd love that. Well, thank you again for your time. We always appreciate you in this ever-changing market. There's all kinds of things to learn. So thank you, my friend.
I am glad to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Estate of Mind, the Art of Selling Luxury Real Estate. If you're interested in learning more about the Institute, you can find more at luxuryhomemarketing.com. If you like what you just heard, please share with a friend and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Thanks for listening.